Hello, ladies, and welcome to Wisdom Calls 1, where we empower you, educate you, and support you on this wonderful journey we call life. And today, our topic is divorce. And here is a statistic that we are all too aware of. 50% of all first marriages end in divorce. Now, the question, is this a bad thing or a good thing? Does this harm or help? And who? It truly depends on how one perceives divorce. And how you answer the above questions is the energy that you are taking into a divorce situation, whether that is your own or someone else's. Ladies, we need to begin to look at divorce with new eyes. And today we have with us Lori Rubenstein, who is going to share her wisdom on divorce and our options of how to perceive it. Lori is a divorce attorney, a divorce mediator, a divorce coach, and relationship coach. She has been immersed in this subject for over 18 years in one form or another and is here to share with us her insights on how one can make divorce a four-letter word. And those four letters, ladies, are G-I-F-T, gift. Yes, divorce can be a gift, and it usually is. So please listen with an open heart and an open mind, because with that 50% statistic, I would bet you are going to need this information yourself or be in a position to share it with someone else. So, ladies, let's get started.
Okay, I'm unmuted.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us today. And I am going to hand the hour right over to you and let you begin on this important topic.
Great. Thank you. Thanks, Denise, so much for having me. And thank you, Wisdom Calls, and all the women that are listening to this. It is such an important topic, divorce. And we, you know, it's one of those topics that really do affect everybody. And, you know, so if it's not you going through a divorce, you might have parents who have, you have relatives, you have sisters and brothers, you have friends. Everybody knows somebody who has gone through a divorce. Here's another sort of interesting statistic, is that by age 30, more than 25% of men and women have been married two times, which is pretty amazing. And almost 50% of all the children born in marriage are children of divorce. And interestingly, more than 40% of all births as of 2007 are to non-marital parents. So what that means is that people are finding themselves raising someone else's children. And it becomes pretty confusing. It becomes poisonous at its worst. And it's spiritually challenging to maintain a balance of all of this. So I'm going to really ask you to keep an open heart today as you're listening to this, really walking your spiritual path through divorce and into the future, into your future love partnerships. It's important to understand what happened through the divorce process so that, of course, you don't want to repeat the same things over again in the future. So, you know, we all have a story about our marriages, and we have a story about divorce. And our minds and our egos end up being partners in creating these stories in which we blame other people. Why? Well, to make ourselves right and to make the other person wrong. What happens with that is energetically we become victims or martyrs. And I know you know that being a victim, being a martyr is very, very unattractive. And it's these stories, these illusions that keep us from taking real responsibility for ourselves. So, you know, the old paradigm of marriage is changing. And the problem is that our DNA doesn't change with the times. You know, our DNA has been pretty much the same for the last 10,000 years. So what does it say? Our DNA says, we need a man. We will die without the man. We will not have food. We will not have the deer without the man. We need somebody to protect us. So we're looking for somebody bigger and stronger than us to protect ourselves. But here's the problem with that. We are capable now of feeding ourselves, of housing ourselves, of meeting most of our six human needs that Tony Robbins talked about. We can meet our needs for certainty, for variety, for significance, for connection, for growth, and for contribution, even without a man or a partner. But ultimately, what we really want, what do we want as spiritual beings on this earth? We want connection and love. And we get that through relationships. Now, it could be a relationship with your dog. You know, it could be a relationship with a child, with parents, with friends, with family members. Yet, the love relationship is the relationship that we're talking about today. And we're dealing with this paradigm of spiritual partnerships. And relationships really are one of our best vehicles for learning and for personal growth. And then when that lesson is over, the relationship can be released for a new lesson. And this is a huge gift of divorce. It's a time when we start asking this important life-altering question, who am I? We ask some other major questions, too, like, how did I lose myself? What is my life purpose? Who am I without my husband or wife? It's really difficult to step into this paradigm when society all around us still abides by the old one. So divorce is also a time when we really step into who we are. We really learn what we are made of. I remember as a divorce attorney, I was a divorce attorney for about 18 years, and I was so thankful that I didn't have to care for my kids alone, because I just didn't think I could handle, you know, running a law practice and being a mom. So it was interesting, because then I went through my divorce, and I got that aha that I was so much more capable than I could ever have imagined. And that truly, that's like an amazing gift of divorce. So another thing that happens when you go through divorce is there's almost always, a what we call a dumper and a dumpee. So the dumper was like the person who wants to leave the relationship. The dumpee is the one that was left. And as you can imagine, that's not a typical spiritual partnership, right? Right? We're talking about the old paradigm here. So both people really have a lot to learn, but oftentimes you'll see the dumper not really deal with their issues. And instead, what they'll do is they'll move right into another relationship. And there are times that the dumper feels some shame and guilt and, you know, is beating himself or herself up. But more frequently, it's the dumpee that's left sort of squirming in pain and discomfort. The question, why me, keeps coming up. And you can get so obsessive and crazy about trying to understand why did this happen to me? So it's our ego, it's our mind that wants to answer that question. So when that's happening, if that's happening to you right now, just take a deep breath. There are some things that we just won't know the answer to. It's really hard to accept, but it's true. And what's more important is to look forward. Look to where you want to go, rather than why things did not work out the way you thought they would. So the dumpy may be really shocked over how their partner supposedly their lifetime partner can just move on like that. Now, it's interesting because the person who makes the decision to get divorced can look like the bad or, quote, evil one. And so let's use an example of the husband is cheating and the wife decides to get a divorce. Who is the, quote, bad one? Of course, you know that I'm using bad and evil. That's sort of a ludicrous term because you know that there's no such thing as bad or evil. And that's something that we really have to understand. There is no bad. There's no one who's at fault. It's just that the relationship itself needed to end. So imagine that this couple had an agreement, and the agreement was, we will not cheat. Then what led to the cheating? These are just some questions to ask. Did they really have an agreement? What is the agreement when we both grow and change in different ways? What happens when just one person grows? Why are we so rigid about growth and change? And more importantly, what is it about us that wants to keep, I'm going to say, ownership over another person? We like to talk about unconditional love, but it's really rare to find somebody who really lives their life on the earth at this time in a relationship, in a marriage kind of relationship that's really, truly unconditional. The closest we can usually get to unconditional love is the way we feel about our children. And I like to think about it as, you know, well, this is how God feels about us. But, of course, that love is a lot more unconditional even than we have for our own children. But that's sort of the closest that we get to that point. So we're here to play our roles, we learn our lessons, and then we move on to the next one. Imagine how your life would be different if you could truly step into that perspective. If we're here, we learn something, and then we move on. And it's really amazing, isn't it, that when 50% of the population goes through something like a divorce, we still feel all this shame and this guilt over it. Women still feel the burden of feeling like a failure, like they've picked the wrong partner. Divorce has not really become normalized. As a society, we do not think in terms of spiritual partnerships. So how would that be different if we understood that marriage was not necessarily forever, but it was forever until something major needed to change? I came up with these 5 secrets of divorce that I wanted to share with you, because I think that this really explains what you can, how you can look at divorce in a different way. So divorce secret number 1. Divorce is not about failure, about picking the right or wrong person and not making it work. It's about your soul's longing for personal growth and for finding the next level of growth. So divorce is like this big, huge, gigantic change in our lives. I mean, everybody agrees with that. It is a huge, big change. It literally blows us up physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially. Nothing will be the same after a divorce. We, especially women, assume that we failed in some way, that we're failures, that we're not good enough, that we're damaged goods. So what is really going on here behind the shadows of guilt and shame and blaming ourselves? As I mentioned earlier, the term spiritual partnership, that's what this is called. So what is that about? Well, Gary Zukav, in the book Soul Stories, talks about the new female and the new male who want to have what's called a spiritual partnership. They like to find out what makes them angry or frightened, and they want to heal parts of themselves that are not healthy, like the parts that do not care about other people, don't have compassion, are selfish, egotistical, and the parts about themselves that they just do not like. This new female and the new male are basically partners on a journey of spiritual growth. They want to make the journey. Their love and their trust is what keeps them together. And I want to say that again. It's their love and their trust that keep them together. They use their intuition to guide them, not all the shoulds that we have in our society. They consult with each other. They're friends. They laugh a lot. They are equals. That's what a spiritual partnership is. It's a partnership between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth. And when there's an opportunity for growth, you can spiral downward into the what's wrong with me place, or you can spiral upward into the self-discovery phase of your life. That's what happens. That's what a divorce is. Divorce is also an opportunity for growth. Just like getting into a relationship is an opportunity for growth, getting out of a relationship is an opportunity for growth. So see this time, the time of divorce, as an impetus to move upward and onward. Here are some really important questions to ask yourself when you're going through a divorce. Did you have a spiritual partnership in your marriage? Did one of you grow while the other did not? Did one or both of you change? Did you have common goals? Did you have common dreams? Who are you without your partner? Did you have a traditional agreement, such as the man will work and the woman will stay home? And then have something that happened in your life that threatened or changed that agreement, like, let's say, the man lost his job, or the woman decided, I'm really bored at home, I want to go to work, I want to go back to school. When did you stop being the best person you can be in the relationship? And who do you want to be now? These are some important questions to ask. So we'll move along here to divorce secret number two. Number two is that divorce is an opportunity to examine parental issues, how they were played out in your marriage, and release them back to the universe so that you do not have to play them out again. So you know how when you go to a counselor, they're always looking at, you know, well, how did your childhood affect you now? And you're always trying to understand, how did I become who I am now, you know, from my childhood? We love to, you know, examine those issues. Well, I want to give you an example of this and why this is important. Now, you know, as coaching, I'm a coach, so we're always looking forward. We're not really examining backwards the way counseling does. But I think this piece is really important for you, for everybody. So I was really hurt because my mother and father divorced. I was about 4 and a half, and I really missed my dad a lot. And I know that they got a divorce because my dad cheated on my mom. I had this agreement, like a vow, I guess, in my head, and I didn't, I mean, of course, as a little kid, I'm not realizing this, but I realized this as an adult, and I really vowed I would not be like my mother, and I would not have a man cheat on me. I remember that I really resented my mother for being weak, and I blamed my dad for leaving. So, you know, it was this whole big dramatic thing, as you can imagine. Well, then 10 years into my marriage, I found out that my then husband cheated on me, and it wasn't just a one-time cheating. It had been basically for most of the marriage. And I became my mother, and I had to really heal that anger within myself, my anger with my mother, my anger with my father, through my own healing and forgiveness with my first husband. So, you know, I was pissed. I don't know how else to say this, but, you know, I was pissed. I was weak. I was scared. I was frightened. There was nothing worse for me than being like my mother. And then to top it all off, my father actually acted like my husband was really bad for doing what he did. And he asked me if there was anything I needed from him. And then he threw in quickly, but don't ask me for money and don't ask me to visit you. And then literally 3 weeks went by before I heard another word from him. And I was like, geez, you know, I had to deal with that, too, on top of everything. So I had this a great, great, wonderful opportunity. Can you see the opportunity in this? To understand what's happening, all this stuff was being mirrored back to me. And I had to deal with it, and I had to heal it. And, you know, everybody heals in a different way. Some people can go through forgiveness processes like, boom, and you know, they just think it and it's done. Others of us, and I'm in this category, have to do it sort of like layer by layer by layer. You think you're done. You know, you've done all this great work on yourself. You think you're done, you're complete. And then something happens. And it's like, oh, dang, I have to do this again. So, you know, that's just part of growth. We just have to go with that sometimes. So I look at divorce as a great opportunity to heal those issues. Now I can really say that things are really clear between me and my dad and me and my mom. Okay, let me take that back. There are other issues. But those issues are complete because I did deal with those issues. So, you know, new ones come up. Like I said, it's the layer, it's the onion thing that goes on. So I did use my divorce to understand that and to really get into and really delve into the issues about forgiveness. You know, I learned so much about forgiveness that it's about me. It's not about them. It's about me not wanting to hold on to resentment and anger. You know, I want to be free of that kind of stuff. I don't want that in my body. I don't want that to stick to me. So it's good for me. It's good for my soul to forgive and to realize that it's not about being okay with what they did. It's not being stupidly trusting again. You know, you can still be smart and forgive. It's just not about giving your blessing to what they did. That's not what forgiveness is about. But it's really about you not holding on to anger and resentment and letting that stuff go. Okay, so let's move on to divorce secret number three. Number three is, divorce is an opportunity to show your real courage, your fortitude, your strength. When there is something when there is something like fear about the future, the unknown, the courageous are the ones that understand you have to get up and do it anyway. You probably remember that book that Susan Jeffers wrote years ago, Feel Your Fear and Do It Anyway. Oh, it's just like that could be a motto for people's lives, you know, to just feel your fear, do it anyway. You know, using the idea of fear standing for false evidence appearing real, because it is. It's just made up stuff in our heads. And once you face it and you deal with it, the fear is gone. It is just magic. So, you know, as a divorce attorney, as I was saying earlier, I couldn't believe the strength that my clients had. And as I said, I just didn't think I could raise my kids on my own. And I remember being in this place of like, you know, I have a marriage that's going to last forever. And I'm like so grateful. Thank God that I'm not going to have to go through this. And nobody, you know, nobody believes that they have what it takes until they find themselves going through it. Suddenly you're faced with these, you know, money issues, figuring out how to support two families on what barely worked for one often. For me, I just left this really secure job with legal services. I was the director of legal services, and I went to open up my own law practice. But it was interesting. So a couple months before I opened the practice, I remember asking him over and over again, is everything okay between us? Are you sure everything's okay between us? I'm just not sure that everything's okay between us. And, you know, our lives were really pretty good. I mean, until I found out and I knew that he was cheating on me, I didn't know on the physical level, but I know that something was wrong on, I guess, an intuitive level, but we never really talked about it, and our lives are pretty okay. So, you know, we just kept moving forward, but I did ask that question, and I remember asking that question. And him telling me yes, and me listening to his words, not his actions, me listening to his words and going in to start my own business. And then within like a month of starting that business, I had to deal with the humiliation of what he did, being a divorce attorney in a really small town, where I didn't even know what was happening in my own backyard, you know, with my husband and me, and figuring out how to raise my kids. And then, so we had less money coming in. And I also went into $15,000 in debt to start this practice. So, you know, I went from this absolute blubbering mess, literally crying on the floor. I remember being in the kitchen of my house, sitting like in the corner between the cabinets with my dog. I had this big German Shepherd who was just like licking me and kissing me. And I was thinking about killing myself. And I was thinking about that because I was like, that'll show him, you know, I'll show him. And now, then I learned, I mean, it only took me a couple months. Like I think within 2 or 3 months, I was this totally competent single parent. I was running my practice, I was exercising, I was losing all this weight on that, you know, wonderful divorce diet that happens to everybody. I was looking really good, and, you know, within a year, I then actually was able to start dating. So I did. I faced the fear. I did it anyway, and, you know, when you have kids and you're going through this process, you know that you don't really have a choice. You have to get out of bed. If it's just you, you might have the luxury of going back to bed, but, you know, most people, if you have a job, you got to get up. You got to put one foot in front of the other. You have to eat eventually. You know, it's just really imperative to figure out how to live again. And I think that counseling, coaching, meditating, yoga, Zumba, moving your body, just move your body in some way is a really good thing if you can. I was reminded as I was putting together this little workshop here, I don't know if you saw the movie Sex and the City. They had the two movies. Well, in Sex and the City 2, Carrie was supposed to marry Big, and he stood her up at the altar, and she was just absolutely humiliated, and she wanted to know, would I ever laugh again? And Miranda told her, yes, when something is really funny. And then Charlotte pooped in her pants, and Carrie laughed hysterically. That is what girlfriends are for. So I know that some people worry about being such a downer. You know, I don't want to have to keep calling them every time I'm crying or I'm asking those questions, you know, why me, or I'm feeling sorry for myself. I don't want to keep calling my girlfriends. But if you have really good friends, they will be there for you, and they will help you laugh again. You need to be able to laugh. I learned that it's best to just start over and create your own rules and rituals with your kids. The first year is the hardest. And in fact, I do have an audio that I will also give you for free if you want it. And it's, I'm trying to think, I think you can just go on my website and get it for free, the Transcending Divorce website. It's about how to deal with divorce during the holidays. If you can't find it on my website, you can just email me at lori@attorney-coach.com and I'll send it to you. But it goes through that first year. Every holiday is really hard. You know, Mother's Day, your birthday, the kids' birthdays, and, you know, of course, Christmas, Hanukkah. And I just love the idea, and I used to teach these classes, the Transcending Divorce classes, and all the women would talk about, you know, what to do during the holidays so that you're not really depressed and your kids aren't depressed. And I love the idea of creating new rules and new rituals. Some people decided to go up to the snow and go skiing or go sleigh riding or rent a cabin. And it's great, you know, so if you have any other women friends who have kids, or if you don't have kids and, you know, you want to be with just other women, take a trip if you can. Have people over. Have your own special holidays. Do things differently. Like, we did things like we had picnics on the floor. You know, it was something that I knew, you know, my husband wouldn't have been into doing when I was married, but, you know, I would put a big sheet on the floor, and we would once in a while have dinner on the floor in front of the TV or not in front of the TV and play games. And just be creative, you know. Have ice cream for dinner once in a while. It's okay. You know, do things for yourself that might not make that much sense but are fun. Okay, moving on to divorce secret number 4. So divorce is really an opportunity to learn to truly love you and to get reconnected with spirit. I sort of dealt with that in some of the other secrets, but I think this is so important. So it's funny. I remember also being in a place during my marriage where I felt that successful intellectual and people who were really together did not need the crutch of religion or God. Of course, I was in my 20s when I believed that. But yet, sometimes it takes this so-called tragedy to help for us to ask for help from God. We start seeking a reason why all of this happened. And, you know, I'm using the word God. You can use the word spirit. You can use the word higher self, Buddha, Jesus, whatever you want to use, whatever makes sense for you. Just translate God over to what makes sense for you. But what happens is we start seeking a reason why all of this happens. We start basically begging God to make things go back to when we felt safe, when we felt comfortable, when we were naive. I mean, I remember that whole idea of like going back and being so naive that I didn't know what was really going on. Somehow, like, that would give me comfort, I don't know, and to be in love again. And it's just this period of time when people really learn what they're made of. They start asking the bigger questions, like I said earlier, you know, why am I here? What is my purpose? Who do I want to be now? They attract other people who are also asking the same questions, which is really great. And in fact, you start growing so rapidly after divorce, many of your other friendships might just fall away. Again, that's okay. Be comfortable with that. You don't need to bring everyone along with you through your entire lifetime. Your comfort zone may be gone, but your growth zone has just begun. The bottom line here is, once you were lost, and now you are found. If I had to sum up the gift of divorce, I would say this is it, in so many ways. The Zen theory of change is that I change not to be trying to be something other than I am, but I change by being more fully aware of how I am, of how I really am. Forgiveness is also a spiritual path. You heard me talk a little bit about forgiveness before. It's a release from the prison of your past. It's a release of resentment, of anger. It leaves room for another spiritual path of gratitude, the path of gratitude. Forgiveness must be practiced because we will continue to have judgments and expectations of others, and as a result, we're going to continue to be what? Disappointed. Because if you have too many judgments or expectations, you can only be disappointed. So how much you forgive, how much you step into gratitude, and how much acceptance you have of what is, how much you can step back and take personal responsibility for your part in the relationship equates to how much happiness and satisfaction you will feel in your life. So I just want to get clear about this. Forgiveness, gratitude, acceptance, non-judgment, personal responsibility, these are all spiritual concepts that you can take into the reality of your life. You can live by them day by day. And as you step into that kind of place, you know, out of the victim role, out of the blaming role, out of the right role, wrong role, you know, stop pointing your fingers at someone else, but stepping into this place, your level of happiness and satisfaction will zoom. It will just zoom. Okay, so we're at the fifth secret of divorce. Divorce is like a forest fire. You can rage internally and be miserable for years. Or you could be like the smoke. You can blow in many directions, and the choice is yours. And you do have a choice. Remember that all endings are new beginnings. Always have a what's next question. So commitment, you know the term commitment? It's a quality that is felt in the present, and not a promise of the future. And what happens is when we get married, we think that both of us are making the same kind of commitment. But we never stop to think, is the commitment we're making different from our partners? What about the commitment to ourselves to continue growing during this lifetime? What about the commitment our soul makes coming into this lifetime. So really asking those questions, what do I really need? And flexibility is one of those, another one of those like great gifts that you get from divorce. We think and we plan that our lives will go one way, and then like poof, you know, all of a sudden it all changes. You didn't have a choice. You think you didn't have a choice, I should say. And you think you need to modify or transform or transcend your life in some way. And I believe that more and more people going through divorce today do some kind of spiritual growth work and do become more flexible in their ways of thinking. Of course, I have in the book that I have, Transcending Divorce, A Guide for Personal Growth and Transformation, there's lots and lots of, it's a workbook. So you can get, you can do the work you need and really transform and grow the way you want to do. So, you know, I look at my mom in the 60s. She went through a divorce, right? And she had no one around to point out the gifts and the benefits of divorce. And I swear she raged internally for at least 20 years. Her anger was absolutely poisonous, and it hurt all of us. And you don't want your children or your loved ones ever having to deal with that. So choosing to take on this new value of flexibility in your life is absolutely amazing. And I don't want to get too preachy about this, but it's important to be in this position of being in charge of your own happiness and not allowing another person's actions to affect you to the point where you're living in the place of anger and hurt. So choosing the path of flexibility will bring you to a place of peace, happiness, and hope. And, you know, I remember working with this woman. She was a you know, Christian fundamentalist woman. She was just absolutely a wonderful, fun person. She had 6 kids and was married, and I was doing a program for 6th grade girls at the time on, you know, preparing for their life. And she was one of the moms. It was a mother-daughter group. She was one of the moms, and she was just sort of pissed that I was talking about teaching our girls how to become responsible for themselves because you can't basically trust a man to support you. That whole idea of a man is not a financial plan. She just was appalled by that idea because she wanted, of course, her girls to grow up and get married and be taken care of the way she was taken care of. And, you know, of course, you can sort of see the ending of that story. About 3 or 4 years later, she shows up in my divorce office devastated. Not only is her husband leaving her, but some of the kids want to go live with him, and she has to get a job, and she has to figure out how to support herself. There's not enough money to support 2 households. Divorce is a gift of helping people become more flexible. That's what I mean. You think life is going to be one way, and then, you know, the bomb is dropped, and you have to change. And once you learn that you can change and can be more flexible, you get to bring that gift of flexibility into other parts of your life. So divorce can really lead you to this spiritual path when you start asking, I'm just sort of repeating this again, who am I? What is my purpose? And as a spiritual person, you learn about forgiveness. And I want to present a scenario to you that I believe can help you as a spiritual person. Well, not a scenario, but more of a homework assignment of ideas, that's what I'm trying to say. I want to give you an assignment that I believe is a first step towards healing, towards really helping, really healing. So these are 3 questions, and you might want to get out a pen and write this down. One is write down what happened from your perspective in your marriage. So make believe you just ran into an old girlfriend and allow yourself to just rant and rave about what happened to you, about your marriage, about your divorce. You know, be a victim all you want. Play the blame game. Just get it all down and all out of you. One of the frustrating things I'll tell you about working with spiritual people is that somehow we believe, I don't know how this started, but we believe we're not allowed to be angry and we're not allowed to feel the feelings of anger. Feel the feelings of anger. Get them out of you. You don't want to hold on to them, but if you stuff them, then your body's going to respond to them. You're going to end up with all sorts of health issues later on because you weren't honest. You didn't get the stuff out of you. So get it out of you. Write it all down. Number two. Now you're going to step into your spouse's perspective. Get into a meditative kind of state where you can really allow his words, her words to come through. Make believe your spouse is telling the story to a buddy about what happened to the marriage and about the divorce. Really step into those shoes and write it all out. And then third, number three, is write out the truth of what happened in your marriage. So what you're going to do is you're going to take a combination of your story and your spouse's story, and you're going to come up with a more realistic truth. I mean, it's not going to be exact, but it's going to be more realistic about what really happened. So these are some of the things I have, of course, in the book, the Transcending Divorce book. I also have this meditation. It's called The Path Back to You. And it's a 20-minute meditation that helps you to really move out of the victim mode and more into that the place of seeing yourself whole and healthy, competent, as a really together person in the world. It's a 20-minute meditation, and it's a gift from me to you. All you have to do is just send me an email, lori@attorney-coach.com, and I'd be glad to send that right off to you. So I wanted to leave you, before I open this up for questions, with one last thought. This is from a book by Ellen Sue Stern, S-T-E-R-N, called Starting Over, Meditations for Divorced Women. This book was so amazing. It's not even in print anymore. You can still get it, like used copies, but this is the greatest book. I don't know why it's not around anymore. Okay, so here's the quote. What we remember, what we choose to let go of, and what to keep is purely up to us. We can remember our love at its best, as it was in the springtime. There came a time when it simply needed to be over. But at one time, however long ago, it was oh so sweet. It's a good thing to remember.
I did have one question, Lori. With women, and I'm sure you have worked with many, do you see a difference in how women get over divorce if they are the dumper or the dumpy? Do they get more in victim mode if they feel they have been dumped versus if they are the ones that initiate the divorce? And not that anyone has done anything wrong. They may have still been, like you said, cheated on, but they initiated that divorce versus, being in victim mode and allowing someone else to initiate. Is there any difference?
Yeah, I think there actually is some difference in a couple different ways. Women seem to be the carrier of the success of the marriage. And so if a marriage was not successful, they will blame themselves, even if they made the decision to end the marriage.
Mm-hmm. That is very, very interesting.
Yeah, and it's interesting, the dumper and the dumpy, a lot of times getting over it as a dumper depends on how long you stay single. You know, some people become, women tend to become the dumper when they have someone else waiting in the wings. Interestingly.
Mm-hmm.
And men also are the dumper when there's someone else waiting in the wings, but they don't necessarily, they will be with someone right away, and they will get married faster than the women will. Marriage is really good for men, health-wise. You know, they live longer. There's all these studies out there, and women actually don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe that is because it's society's way they perceive divorce and marriage, that probably more so marriage, because I think we're still in that part of society that once you are married, you are the property of your husband.
Yeah, and it's
and so that can't
be
any good for men or for women.
Right, yeah. So women are always trying to figure out their identity, like, who am I? And when you,
mm-hmm.
when women get older, especially, you know, I'm 50 now, and I work with a lot of women in their 40s and 50s and 60s. And when the kids are grown up, I mean, that whole empty nest thing, it's mm-hmm. not necessarily that they're upset that their kids left the house, but they really don't know what to do with their lives, and they start asking these questions. Who am I? I mean, just like a divorce is the impetus to ask that question, so is the kids leaving home.
Right. Right, yeah, and if you get both of those at the same time, double whammy. And one other comment with meditation about the holidays. I think that is a wonderful meditation for women to get. I just remember going through my own divorce. The first year I felt I had to bring everything back to the way it was for stability for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest mistake I ever made.
Yeah.
Second year going forward, I did the complete opposite and did exactly what you had said. And I had two women friends that were both divorced. One was going through it the same as I was. One had been through, they had kids the same age as my kids. We, even in the summer, we would go places together. We would do things at cabins. We had a ball. And that made such a difference for my kids, is that, especially for the kids. We're all in it together. And this is fun. This is not a negative situation where when you try to make those old traditions, you're just reminding them once again of something that is no longer.
You know,
so
it's, I'm so glad you brought that up again. Yeah, because another thing that women do is they try to make up for dad not being there, and
yes.
they really lose like their feminine essence of being mom.
Mm-hmm.
Mothers can't be moms and dads. They need to just do what they know how to do and just be the mom and be that loving, caretaking, compassionate person that they are and not try to do it all. This is when we just run ourselves ragged.
And that's when the community comes in. You need to build a new community around yourself of support, male and female. You need some male gender coming in to support those kids from your side.
Absolutely. In fact, I made sure my kids had a male teacher in first grade.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted them to be with this male teacher because I knew he was just awesome. He was this really awesome guy. And I wanted them to have this man in their life every day, and I asked for that, and I got it.
Right. Yep, we just have to think outside the box a little bit, which we are all capable of. So, but it has come to the top of the hour, and I want to thank you, Lori, and I also want to make sure that everyone has all of your contact information. So, ladies, to find all of Lori's wisdom, go to www.transcendingdivorce.com. She also has a website, www.loveadvicecoach.com. And also, Lori's email, once again, is Lori, and it's L-O-R-I, @attorney-coach.com. Email her and get the meditation that she is offering to everyone. And I think this is a great meditation to get, regardless of, you know, if you've gone through a divorce or if you know someone that has gone through a divorce, regardless of when, if they're in the middle of it, if they've been through it 5 years previous, get this meditation. It is definitely going to get everyone out of that victim mode energy, which women in general just need to get out of the victim mode if you're in it for any reason. And also, ladies, explore Lori's website. It's filled with wonderful articles. There's videos. Sign up for her newsletter so that you can stay caught up with all the news and support that Lori gives. She also facilitates numerous classes on many aspects of divorce and relationships. And please, if you or anyone you know is currently dealing with divorce, get Lori's book entitled Transcending Divorce. You can order it right on her website. And then, of course, if you need coaching and you want coaching, you can offer coaching to someone you know. Get in touch with Lori. Set up the needed consultation. And for all the new women on this call, if you would like to become a part of these wonderful conference calls we do each week, just go to our website, which is www.wisdomcallsone.com. Get signed up on our email list so that you'll know who will be speaking and able to clear your calendars. And you can check out all our past speakers, download a copy of the hour that they spent with us, and become supported, empowered, and educated as we were today with Lori. And also join me on Facebook, Wisdom Calls One. I love Facebook. And join Lori on Facebook. You can join her with Lori Rubenstein, her page on Facebook. So again, Lori, I want to thank you for bringing some new perspectives to a very intense subject that really does affect each and every one of us. So I thank you.
You are so welcome, and thank you so much for having me. I love being able to get the word out to women everywhere. So thank you, and I love what you're doing, Denise.
Great. Thanks, Lori. And today we were going to close with a quote about forgiveness. Lori talked quite a bit about that. I thought it was an appropriate quote by Joan Borisenko. It says, forgiveness is not the misguided act of condoning irresponsible, hurtful behavior, nor is it a superficial turning of the other cheek that leaves us feeling victimized and martyred. Rather, it is the finishing of old business that allows us to experience the present free of contamination from the past. So thank you all, and we will talk to everyone next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.